Welcome to this episode of the podcast. Today, we're going to be hanging out with Dwayne Murray. Dwayne is a mentor and friend of mine, and I want to dive into the purpose of work. I have found that purpose is a very resilient source of motivation versus things like your personal income or an award you might win in our business. And so how do you become aware of your purpose, and then how do you lean into it? Dwayne runs a group called C12 here in Nashville, in Tennessee, that I'm part of. This is what he does for a living. He sits with business owners, entrepreneurs, and helps them find, what is your purpose? Why are you doing what you're doing? Who are you helping? How can your business serve more people than just yourself? So this will be a great conversation. Dwayne, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks, Stan. Glad to be here.
For everybody listening, Dwayne is a friend and mentor of mine. He is my Yoda, maybe Gandalf on some days, just depends on the what we're doing, but you've had
a big... I'd like to have more hair, yep.
Yeah. So if you could give a quick background on your journey, I know for me, yeah, it's been a blessing, the different experiences and seasons you've had in your life to where you've eventually landed just coaching and challenging business owners to have purpose in what they do.
Yeah.
I'd love for everybody listening to get quick background on you.
Thanks. I'd love to share that. So back it up on my story. When I was in college, finishing up college, I'd done the cool thing of actually finishing in 3 years. Yay me, I'm done. I'm going to finish early. And I had no idea what I was going to do next. And
you got all of your partying done in 3 years?
I did all of my partying. There was no partying. I lived in a I lived in a retirement center.
Hey.
Like an assisted living facility for a year of my last year of my schooling. That's another story.
Yeah.
Anyway, as I finished up, I didn't know what I was going to do for sure. And, my mom, after I kind of poked into different areas, I might have joined Northwestern as an advisor. That was an option.
Hey.
And my mom said, well, have you thought about healthcare? It's a guaranteed job always. And I said, well, no, I haven't. And ended up getting into healthcare and finding a really great fit for what was kind of my desire to really serve and help people. To be engaged on the business side, because I started getting a psychology degree. And then I decided that's not what I was interested in. Let me get a degree that I can finish pretty quickly. And I got into business by default. I can finish a business degree quick and found out I loved it. I love business. I love being curious about it. And I love serving others. And healthcare became that track that I could follow that would do both. Allow me to practice a skill of business, allow me to serve others. And so I thought that was going to be there. And it aligned with where I was spiritually. I really wanted to be someone who was a servant leader. That's where I was going to start. Well, 12 years into that, great career, going well, could have stayed in it, had an opportunity to upgrade, to change from one great role to the next greater role. And simultaneously, my church said, will you come be our executive pastor? Didn't know what that was. Wasn't sure that was a good idea or not. Just really leaned into my relationship with God and just said, is this who you made me to be? Is this what I'm here for? And he really gave me an either or. He said, I'm happy with you if you stay in healthcare and serve me, or I'm happy if you go into the church and serve me. And that was a great freedom that I had. And so I chose the church. And I thought, well, that's the path less traveled. I'm going to go ahead and do that. Learn that role.
Did you partially make that decision because it was the one that made you most uncomfortable?
Probably, yeah. I would say that I felt the most obedient.
Got it.
Like I felt the most surrendered to something that I this doesn't make sense. And yet it feels like what I'm supposed to do. And I think what I got out of that, what I was looking for in trying to seek a psychology degree, I got in becoming a pastor because I got a chance to pastorally coach people and counsel with people in hard times. And that was instrumental for me and, got a lot of other skills and development, learned some other leadership skills in a different environment. There's one thing to lead in healthcare. When you're paying people a paycheck, it's another thing to lead in the church when your majority of your workers are volunteer.
Wow.
And the only income you get is whatever they give to the church.
Wow.
So that became really challenging, but that was a great step. And I thought I was going to retire in that. Had planned my senior pastor and I, he had said, when I retire about 2 years later, you can retire. And I'm like, I'm good with that. That'll be a good plan. Mm-hmm. But I really recognized and got an itch for, I think I was supposed to be back in the marketplace. I think I'm supposed to be in business doing something, and not good timing, like two kids in college, a third that was going to be in college within a couple of years. And I'm like, this sounds foolish. Mm. but it was exactly where I was supposed to be, because it was what I was made for, what I developed, and we could talk about this more, but what I understood about myself was I was really great at two things. I'm good at a lot of things, but great at a couple of things. One was facilitating groups of leaders to decision. And the other thing I was good at was one-on-one mentoring, and had developed those skills along the way, both in healthcare and in the church. And I would love to spend 80% of my time just doing the two things I do better than everything else. And I would love to do it for a greater purpose. I would love to do it very purposeful around, you know, what does God want for my life? And so that's when I left the church and that role in search of what I now have is C12. And so I get a chance to do that.
Before you met Dewey at the coffee shop, you knew those things. You said, these are the things I want to be doing with most of my time.
Yes.
Okay. I had known that. So, I thought with Dewey, that was kind of like when the epiphany happened.
No, I already knew that was the area that I wanted to specialize in.
Yeah.
And I'd actually read John Acuff's book, Do Over, and that was a helpful tool among some others that I was listening to and really kind of helping me narrow down what am I going to be great at that I could bring uniqueness for.
And so C12, business owners that are looking for, and I know what attracted me was one, a community accountability with other like purpose-driven entrepreneurs. Yeah. And I knew in the world that I'm in and a lot of the people listening, it's we manage money. You know, a lot of times we're incentivized to sell a certain amount of stuff to get an award, to get recognized. Like it's a very results finance-driven world, which is motivating to some extent, but I found like if personal income is my only goal, like the drive for that diminished over time.
Yeah. Yeah. It could be a false idol, right? It could be something that offers something of benefit that really doesn't. And it's only after we make some achievements related to that that we go, that's not what I'm really after. And then it's also when we see the results of, because the result of you helping somebody make money is something happens.
Yeah.
What happens as a result of that? Or what happens in the journey that's on the way there? And it's the relationship and engagement that we get to have with other people that we begin to understand, you know, I'm ultimately here to serve others. And I'm actually the fullest version of myself when I'm serving somebody else in the place that I'm gifted in, right? Outside of gifting, that could be really bumpy.
So C12, national organization, everybody listening, definitely look it up. I've been part of C12 for 7 years. It's a helpful reset every month when we spend a day together and then we get one-on-one time together. I'd love for you to unpack and share with us like what you've learned about business owners, the tension they face with leading people well, making income for themselves, always this kind of churning or this feeling inside, at least for a lot of them, maybe everyone, they just don't all recognize it, of like, do I have more to give? Like what's this all for?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to use Simon Sinek's word, start with why. You know, if you really dig into what's the why, what's the unique thing that I've been gifted to do, and in my relationships, I think of financial advisors, in the relationship that I'm going to have with a number of individuals, families, business owners or employees, right? In those interactions, I'm going to have an opportunity to make an impact. If I don't start with why, man, the day-to-day grind of working with other people, the resistance we experience, whether that be through people we work with, clients, or whether it be people we work alongside with, right? That's going to be hard to endure without clear why. Yeah. Whether I was in the church, whether I was in healthcare, whether I'm in this role now, my why keeps me grounded. My why keeps me chugging. You know what? I'm not sure why this isn't working right now, but I know I was called to this.
Yeah.
Was I called to this for my lifetime? I don't know. And there's times that I have to receive and accept. Success may be looking like a little like failure from time to time.
Yeah.
And I have to be able to sit in that as well.
So what do you see? I know even on our board, we have a pretty diverse group of types of business, size of business. For our audience, because I think at times that can be some head trash or some resistance internally of like, that apply to me. Like, oh, that business is different. Mine is bigger. Mine's much smaller. What are some of these recurring themes now that you've coached hundreds of business owners and that's your job every day is to immerse yourself in their companies.
Yeah.
What are some common themes that you would share?
Process and people.
Yeah, that's good.
Right? I mean, you either have a process problem or you have a people problem. The challenges we're facing related to that. I'm back up. Let me talk to the individual. You know, the guy that's out there leading, going, there's a lot of fun business ideas and things that would be great to apply if I had a team of 20, if I had a team of 50. And I would find ways. What I encourage people to do, find ways to resize what the purpose is of that. You know, we see it working well in a group of 20. We think it's always working for somebody else and not working for us. But when we break it down and we actually try to understand the core principle behind it and get to start applying that into the individual situation, we can get some leverage out of that. And sometimes it's one of those things, hey, you have to kind of show success with the things you've been given before you're going to be given more. You know, I shouldn't be leading at a higher level if I can't lead at the level below that. And that tends to be shown true as people exit, right? As people don't stay with us, right? And they move on. It's like, I'm not learning how to lead at that level yet.
Yeah. One thing that's been helpful for me is sitting around a table with the 12 of us is the normalizing of this can be lonely.
Yep.
This is
challenging.
I know even our meeting this last week, we're looking around, we're like, dude, we're all in a fight right now. You know, like every once in a while, there's somebody at the table. It's like, man, it feels like things are going pretty nice for you. You know, and the rest of us feel like we're in the trenches. Whether it's high turnover or like we launched a product that didn't work. And so I think for everybody listening, I think I want to affirm, like, if it's hurting, if it's challenging, I think you're just in it. And I think we need to be aware that maybe there's something we can do better. Like, we may be making it more challenging than it has to be.
Right.
But I think it's unrealistic to think, hey, someday I'm going to hit this flow state where being in business is going to be easy.
And then you level up, and then all of a sudden you're at a new challenge stage, right?
Higher quality problems to solve. That's right.
Higher quality problems to solve. Yeah, I think that's one of the values of the peer group experience, right? One of the values of what you offer in the Elite Advisor Network too is for people to come together and say, "Hey, I'm struggling here," and I think the authenticity of that is so reaffirming. Now we can become exhaustive in that space too. That's where the peer group has to have enough health to go, hey man, you sound like you're wallowing in it right now. Mm-hmm. Stop wallowing in it. Let's find a clear step forward and take a step. And you and I, we've observed that with members that are in your forum where somebody will be going through something and they're weary because they're in the middle of it. And it takes somebody on the outside going, I realize where you're at. Just take the next step. Yeah. Get clarity around what you need to do to take the next step. And then the encouragement, the courage, somebody just reaching out with a text a week later and saying, hey, I hope that's going better, right? And then looking back over time, I think the other thing that leaders fail to do, we actually have what's called Focus 60s, as you know, with each member. And that's a time for us to look back 30 days at what went right and what needs to go different, right? And then look ahead 30 days and keep your eye forward. And so I think there needs to be an assessment of, hey, I did something and I didn't do it well. You know, I tried to do too much. And I'm going to narrow my scope and actually only do this much and finally see progress in some area. And so I think it's the coming together and asking everybody, are you looking back and doing a right assessment? Are you celebrating the things that are wins?
Yeah.
You know, because we're not good at that. Celebrating wins, we're not good at. Telling me what I did wrong, I'm really good at that, right? I can tell you what I did wrong and, you know, several other things. But I think that's a key component of that.
So with the community piece, and a lot of this, what I want to kind of make sure we get to is like the purpose behind work.
Yeah.
I find a lot of advisors when I work with them, thousands now, the purpose initially was like survival. It's like, hey, I want to make a living for myself. And probably mixed in there is like recognition, ego.
Yeah.
Eventually it's like, I want to maintain the lifestyle for me and my family. And at some point, purpose is trying to find its way into that. For me, I know with the forum, the accountability, the cadence of every month, I'm forced to stop and look at my business. The lonely factor that I think there were times where I was like, I was lonely and didn't even know it. Like, I normalized the isolation, the frustration. And so for everybody listening, I would tell you one of the biggest development points for me as a leader and entrepreneur was like my personal health. And I look back and laugh, and I'll even ask you this question. I've never asked you this before. How long it took me to settle into the community and be real? And is there usually, in your experience, like a certain timeline for somebody to like stop trying to solve everybody's problems in the group and actually just show up to actually benefit from the community side of it?
How long does that normally take? It depends on how many walls. Depends on how many walls you've barricaded yourself in with. You know, the more life experience, especially hardships that somebody's gone through, the more walls they've got up. Yeah. And those are protective walls. Those places where they've learned to not let people in, to not trust people, and or we've had enough people leave us in our lives. You know, divorce and parents or those kind of, we've watched enough people leave us in our lives that we're pretty guarded about sharing it openly with anybody, but especially a group setting. Guys in group settings don't tend to share.
Yeah, that's right.
That's not a safe environment.
Just a lot of grunt.
Right. Well, I mean, all sports taught us that. I mean, even in the sports realm, you didn't show up as your real self. You showed up as the best version of self you could and hoped you wouldn't get squashed.
That's right.
And it's just kind of the environment. So I think it really does depend on the length of time somebody sat in their own isolation, right? And they've learned to kind of survive without other people. And then they've got to go, I want to let, and what happens is I watch somebody else let their wall down and it was safe for them. And I'm, oh my gosh, that's so helpful, right? That guy just admitted he feels like he's failing. One of the guys in our forum is classic at saying, I feel like such a failure as compared to other people in this group. That's so like everybody else rallied around that and goes, wait, me too. You know, I think I should be accomplishing more. I should be making more of the opportunity I've been given. That's my latest, right, that I'm trying to deal with. But I think it doesn't happen until you start getting around people. And you have to keep an environment, create an environment that's truly trustworthy, right? And sometimes that's calling people out for being ego, right? Hey, you're being an egomaniac, and I'm not feeling safe around you right now.
The time is here. Our Overcoming Resistance course is now live. I would give anything to go back in time and have this information earlier in my career. I would have wanted to reject average and recognize the most important decisions I should make as a business owner. Visit gobeelite.com to access the course now. I wish I would have had this sooner, and now I'm giving it to you. Yeah, I appreciate that none of us are trying to sell each other stuff in there. I know early networking groups and things, it was like you always kind of had your business hat on, your face of like, is there an opportunity? I mean, at least I know for our forum, like we come in, it's like, well, I want nothing from you guys except, you know, accountability, encouragement,
relationship,
which I think C12 does a great job with that.
Yeah, we have a no solicitation policy. And, you know, but now it, once people know that you're an advisor, if they want to self-select you and have a conversation with you, that's totally permissible. It's for the exact reason you just described. Otherwise, we put on a different face.
Yeah.
When I know I'm going to be sold, I put on a different face, a different posture. You and I have a different relationship until we move past that. And so that's why we protect that at all costs, because that's what's crucial.
Yeah, I think for me, the reason I was laughing is like I bet I'm 2 or 3x the average timeline of showing up for real, because in our business it's like you're kind of always on, like you want to come across a professional that has it together, has all the answers. And for me that helped me as an advisor, but it hurt me in community and relationship, because not that a lot of people told me, but I feel like there was a lack of genuine connection, and nobody has it all together, but if you try to make it seem like you do, I think for me that was I wasn't fully aware of it. And then I was becoming aware of it, and then it still took time.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally accurate. And, you know, not surprising. And you know, you were patient with yourself in that environment. You didn't, you know, there was no rushing you from that standpoint. I think there were times when you'd be like, no, this is the way I am. And it's like, okay, we'll wait and see how that works out. So you think that's true.
Patient.
Yeah. Well, The whole group was, and then to watch you now be as patient with other people, right? Mm. We got a new guy that, you know, that's in the group, as you know, and, you know, watching him showing up, right? It's just part of the process for what happens with that.
Yeah. So with purpose, you work with business owners of all sizes, all income amounts, all employee counts. What do you think, what's the theme? What's the common piece here? That if somebody's listening, whether they're unaware of it, aware of it, but not sure what to do with it, or like trying to fully live it out. Let's dive into purpose of work.
Yeah. Purpose of work. I was giving this some thought. And of course I wanted to run the 2 or 3 books that I know have talked about it well and talked about that. And I decided, okay, I'm just going to keep it simple from, you know, this is Dwayne's collection of what he's seen over hundreds, as you said, hundreds of one-on-ones with different people.
Yeah.
And I really feel like purpose of work is provision, serving others, and being a co-creator.
Mm.
So provision is the obvious, right? We're giving work as an opportunity for us to provide for ourselves, provide for our community and people around us, right? So it's a provision factor. I'm reminded, you know, if you want to go to earliest scripts that are out there about why was work created. I mean, God created work before there was the fall of man. He created work and he blessed it. God worked for 6 days and then he rested on the seventh, right? So, you know, we have that as our example, that it's a way of provision. The problem is when we make it only about provision.
Yeah.
Or we make it into the idol of identity. Man, when I want my work needs to become my identity and I've got to succeed at my work or else suddenly I'm a failure. And then we have a failure identity. So it is provision, but it's not just that. We are made in such a way that we actually thrive when we serve. Mm. When we're serving others and we're not just thinking about ourselves, that moves us past our provision. Even in our provision, we can say, well, I'm about my family, but I may really be about myself serving my family. Yeah. But serving others is a core purpose of work. I don't always like it, but I get a chance to work with others and, you know, I'm find out stuff about myself that I don't work well with others in this particular way. That's healthy. That's helping me see things that I need to get better at. Even the Son of God, when he decided to come to earth, right? He left a role that he had in heaven to be a specific role here. And the role he chose here was servant. I got to pay attention to that, right? When we look across our history, right? It's the people who've served well are the people that we admire, we kind of look to. So work is a place to serve. And then thirdly, the co-creator piece. You know, God, you know, if I look back to the beginning, Adam and Eve in the garden, working with God, they worked alongside God. And we get to watch this in day-to-day things that happen. You know, even as you help to build wealth for people, there's ways that wealth gets used through others, right? That is a co-creator function. They get to do things that they never thought about doing before.
Sure, no.
Right? And so I would appeal to every leader that there's a purpose behind why God designed you and then gave you the work that he's given you to do that you want to discover. Because when you discover it, then you get to wallow in it in a healthy way. Then you get to really, it's the quote, you know, Eric Little from Chariots of Fire, you know, I believe God made me for a purpose, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure.
Wow. Yeah.
Right. And when people watched him run, it was like so exciting to watch somebody who's a really great athlete do something that you're just uniquely wired for. Mm-hmm. And they make it look so easy,
yeah.
Right? Good. And you just can't help but just to be lit up by that. And that's the purpose factor. Purpose gives us energy. It gives us, it charges us up.
It feels like a more resilient source of motivation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's how it's been for me. I heard that. I feel like the circles I was in, some of the books I was reading, there's this big push. And this goes back to my story of like rest, like
yep.
getting away from work in a healthy way.
Yeah.
I had multiple father figures growing up and I observed like too much work. And so my goal is to work enough really effectively for the purpose of rest. Recently, I've been hearing more, and it's really resonated with me, of I'm resting to work.
Yeah.
Like work is good, and mm-hmm. good work is good. And for my story of, you know, divorces and all this stuff, like there was something in me that like work is a necessary evil. I want to be good at it, but I don't want to do too much of it. And as a dad of three, I'd live with some fear of like, is work encroaching? I mean, is mm-hmm. it taking over my life? And so it was freeing as I was able, and the Lord kind of spoke into me to be like, this is a good thing that if done well,
yeah,
is great, but it can be abused and can become an idol. But it was more true to me in the way I'm wired to switch that and say, like, yeah. I can't avoid or reject rest. It's part of the process, but it's a catalyst to the original thing that I do feel productive when I'm working and producing something.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, God's pleased when we're working, right? I think he's pleased when we're working and he takes joy in seeing, just like we would as parents, right? And we have to be careful in associating God with our parenthood because we're not always the best example of it. But when we see our kids functioning in something they do really well, it delights us. And we can see that they're happy in doing that. So work is meant to be something that we enjoy with God. And then rest is something he's told us, hey, we've got to have this. Athletes have figured this out, right? The pro athletes recognize they have X number of workouts and then they have X number of rest times, right? Places where they're allowing their body to recondition and restore. And we as humans, we've got to have a reset in our mindset where we get to the rest point to where we can go, now, what's this really all about? And is this really all dependent upon me or is there something more that's got to happen here? And so that reset is a crucial part of that. And that's what I hear you talking about is, do I have a place where I'm resetting, I'm being still, meditating, and then out of that to go do the work that I've been created to do. It's a tremendous amount of research that's been done on it now showing that the grittiest people have that as a part of their rhythm of life. And so, you know, what are we doing to lean into that? But yeah, I agreed. I think we've demonized work a little bit and trying to say that, you know, I got to get away from it. I got to not do too much of it. But there's a healthy part of that. In fact, now the research is coming out that in men in particular, when they no longer have a purposeful work to do, they decline mentally and physically. It's a drastic drop off. I can't quote the research on it. So, but maybe I'll find it later and get it back to you. But
I believe you. Yeah.
Thanks. Research says.
Yes, that's right. I feel like for our industry, and my hope is for everybody listening that I think step one for me was like an awareness, and I had to have some outside input from you over the years to just be willing to kind of break up the way I saw the world and myself and what I was acting out of, which was fear, ego. And so I'd say step one for everybody listening is like gain a higher level of awareness of why you're doing what you're doing, how you go about it. Do you get positive feedback from those around you about how you accomplish your goals? Or does it feel like, man, this guy gets stuff done, but you know, there's a lot of collateral damage around him or her when they get there.
Yeah.
For me, the work was in the awareness, but then I was moving into like, well, I got to sit in this now. Like mm-hmm. I have to sit in the fact that this is true, that it's not who I want to be and that I can't fix it quick.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would just add to that, you know, you have put yourself not only in C12, but in other focus groups, right? To help you increase your ability to be aware, right?
Yeah.
And so that's been the additional work that you've done to make sure that you're not just hearing things or that you're not just quickly dismissing things. Peers looking at you and going, hey, man, I think you may have this to work on. No, I really don't think that's the case. This is my excuse. And, you know, it's easy to dismiss those things because we don't want to see ourselves in a negative light or have other people see us that way. But it really is when we kind of honestly assess ourselves, and that's our monthly cadence with regard to our team's meeting. We don't just jump right into business data. First thing we ask is, how are you? How are you? I want you to self-reflect on how you're doing. And we practice that because we've really not had a lot of place where that's been trained into us. School doesn't teach us that, right? We might have a family that's self-aware and so they're helping to do that, but most don't. And so we got to create space for that, for those questions. And then to trust ourselves or trust the voice of God in our lives to be able to say, hey, this is who you are.
Yeah. I would say as we wrap up that, I think earlier I said purpose is a resilient form of motivation. I would say purpose is the most resilient form of motivation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know as an entrepreneur, curveballs are coming. I can't control everybody around me. They're going to do stuff that hurts me. Like so much is coming at us in life. And especially you add entrepreneurship into that with employees and all the stuff. We need something to hold on to.
And
if personal income, that's fleeting. If it's some award banquet, that's fleeting. And it's like, what's that purpose thing you're holding tight to?
Well, and celebrate those, you know, really, and you guys have got a wall where you've started posting, you know, the folks that have retired, you know, or achieved some financial goal, right? That's you identifying a purpose fulfilled, right? And then we have to go back when we have those wins, make sure they're well documented, meaning what's the backstory to them? Because there's always these fuller stories. When I first started working with Sten in C12, this is where he was at. This is what was going on. Now this is where he's at. And I get to celebrate, not that I did that, but that's what's happened in you in the time that I've dedicated myself to make this available. And so as a consequence, right, there's this great celebration that happens. So our team of chairs, I lead a team of 10 chairs, and every month we take time to answer the two questions from our mission statement. Have the members we serve experienced greater business and greater purpose? And what's the story we can tell related to that? And we tell each other those stories because that keeps us focused on the why for the down. I mean, there were down parts of this month. There were down parts of this week related to people's lives when things are happening. And it's like, I could lose sight of my purpose without that. And so the retelling of stories, the capturing of that, creates that remembrance that I need for when times are lean.
All done. It's great. I appreciate you, brother. This is helpful. Hopefully everybody listening. Yeah, I think it's a deep topic, but I think there's some layers on the surface that are worth scratching. You know, I think it's work to get into it and it reveals stuff and leads to a next step and a next step, but it's definitely worth it.
Well, good job on doing the work. And thanks for sharing your story with us and on your podcast. This is great. Thank you.
Talk soon.